What's up, everyone? First off, thank you so much for taking a listen to the first ever Enjoy the Podcast, episode one. The main reason why I started this podcast was to, you know, develop a deeper bond and a deeper understanding of each other. I mean, I find that as an artist, I tend to hide behind my music. Expressing emotions and perspectives by just speaking is something that is new to me. I noticed for me, the only way I can grow holistically is by putting myself in positions that are uncomfortable. I never was a good speaker, you know. I've always been a good expresser, though. You know, I've been great at expressing myself, but it always was through something creative. So I thought, why not challenge myself to do a podcast? Because that will force me to build the muscle of speaking. And I know that sounds so funny, but for me, I find growth and evolution are closely connected to being uncomfortable. So here we are, and now I started a podcast and you guys are listening to it, and I'm grateful, and I mean, this is gonna be a good time. But first off, let me just explain the word enjoy. I use it across everything, and I never truly explained that to you guys. So I thought, why not start episode one with explaining what enjoy means to me? So the happy, smiling all the time, joyful person that you see today is not who I've always been. I was a miserable person. Some would say I was in a consistent state of depression. I hated life. I had no hope. I pushed everyone as far away from me as I could. So, you know, I was just in a dark place. And let me take you to one of the darkest nights I've ever had. So I just got let go from my job. You know, for one, that job didn't pay me for about 6 months prior. And I was surviving off of tip money. So I barely had enough money for rent. I barely had enough money to keep the lights on. I wasn't even eating well. I wasn't eating well for years. I would eat like gas station food and top ramen and chips and anything that I can get my hands on that was very, very cheap. I recently broke up with my girlfriend at the time, so I was extremely lonely. And I was virtually stagnant in my music career, and I wasn't even connected to my family at all. So I was in a very dark, lonely place. And on top of all that, I just turned my back on religion. And I believed at the time that God was going to burn me for eternity for that decision. And we will go into detail on how traumatizing my experience with the church was, but that's a whole episode in itself. And right now, I'm just trying to frame my mindset on life at that time. I was just basically in a very dark mental state. And I was doing way too many drugs and not eating enough. And one night, I thought I could drown my pathetic self in weed and mushrooms. And I mean, if anybody's out there an avid mushroom taker, you know where this story is going. And I got to take a very, very long look at myself and who I was and where I was headed. And in this altered state, it was almost like I was able to meet myself for the first time, like meeting a stranger, you know. I was able to look at my flaws, my imperfections, my bad decisions from an unbiased standpoint. And what I mean by that is, when you look at yourself, it's almost impossible to not make excuses for your choices, because we understand why we made those choices. We understand why we made those decisions. So we tend to look at ourselves as not problematic the way you would look at a stranger if you saw them making the same decisions. So in my altered state, I was able to go down a long list of character flaws that I needed to change immediately. Now, I will say, this type of thinking, you don't need psychedelics, you don't need any drugs, but I hadn't built the character to challenge myself to be a better person. So really, that was the first time I was able to see that my miserable life was no one's fault but my own. Prior to that night, I would blame my parents, I would blame my upbringing, my situations, for all of my shitty decisions, which those are a factor and they are true, but they're not the whole truth. And I was never taking responsibility for my decisions. I was always blaming others, and I never grew as an individual. So that night I had an epiphany. I had many, but the one that stood out the most for me was I realized my self-pity played a huge role in why my life turned out so shitty. You know, in order for me to move forward and grow, I needed to enjoy the journey, not enjoy it when I overcame whatever I was trying to overcome or when I won. I needed to enjoy where I was at that moment, not enjoy the vision of me making it. I needed to learn to enjoy every part of my life, not just the good times. It forced me to change my mood drastically. And I noticed as soon as I started enjoying life, life started to progressively get better. So I say the word enjoy saved my life, because living in that much sorrow, honestly, I don't know how much longer I would have withstand that. And something had to change. My perspective had to change. I needed to become a happier person to have a happier life. So with all that being said, I really hope you enjoy the first ever podcast. And I know this is a little intro to explain where I'm coming from. So enjoy. And I will do this type of intro every time before every episode. And this one is kind of like we just talking shit. Me and my boy Los, who is the other co-host of the podcast. We just over there talking shit. So, you know, I hope you enjoy it. Have a good time. And I'll see you guys next week. Okay. Welcome to the very first Enjoy the Podcast, episode one. Ooh, boom, yeah. boom. Eventually, we're going to have some real sirens, some real explosions for you guys to hear. But right now, I'm going to do it with my mouth. Bop, 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 bop.
That was awesome. We're really good at sound effects.
So, yeah. Man, I don't know what happened, but I randomly a couple of days ago was like, you know what? Everyone's doing podcasts. Why am I not doing a podcast?
That's right.
And I hit Los up, who is actually the other co-host of this podcast. I met you 4 years ago, 5 years ago, probably longer than that.
Well, how long have you been with Shannon?
About 5 years.
So I've known you
probably 2 years before.
I'd say, yeah, about 2 years before you met her.
Almost a decade.
That's entirely too long.
That's crazy. It doesn't even feel that long.
To you, it doesn't. No, I'm joking.
All right. Well, yeah, we have been rolling with the punches with me. Yes, I have been working with Los musically. So if you listen to any of my music, you have heard Los. Yep. Well, you didn't hear Los.
But you heard Los.
He is like, I always look at him as someone who has very interesting perspectives. So when I was thinking of somebody that I wanted to put on this with me, do this podcast with me, I was like,
Who better?
It doesn't make any sense not to use Los.
It wouldn't have made sense.
That's true. So I always felt like your perspectives were a little bit to the left, you know? They're a little bit different, but they make sense.
Not necessarily meaning politically left.
Oh, no. I don't want to cause any drama, but...
No. I mean, I'm just for clarification for people that don't know me.
Oh, yes. Okay. What's a better way of saying that?
No, I mean, but they're just... I don't know, I guess. I don't want to say eccentric, because then it makes it sound like I'm...
Like you're hippie.
Like I'm just some whack job or something. Yeah, like that sounds like a nice way of saying like he's fucking nuts. But, yeah, I'm fucking nuts. No, yeah. I'm joking.
I mean, there's a good way to put it.
Yeah, I have interesting perspectives.
What I'm going to do now is I'm going to preview a new song that no one's heard. I mean,
not even I don't think I've heard it. Have you, I heard it?
When we were doing the test earlier, I played a little bit. Yeah, that was a real testing. You didn't really hear it. But yeah, no one's heard this. I'm going to have, you know, that's the gift that I'm going to give to you guys.
Good to hear it first.
You know, this is why I need you guys to come over here and listen to this podcast, because you're going to get little sneak peeks. I want to drop it in a few weeks, but Roland, Why haven't I got your verse yet?
Roland, where's the fucking verse, Roland?
Come on, dog.
Roland. Keep messing around. You see, I'm looking in the camera at you right now, Roland. Keep messing around, and all the music of yours that I'm supposed to be mixing, it's going to get deleted.
Mm.
Send the fucking verse, Roland.
Send the fucking verse.
All right.
All right.
What's up, D-Dot?
Pull up on the hills one time. You ain't got to stress on time. I could probably hit it in a booth right now. BBS diamonds all in my mouth. Big dog, look at my paws. She walked in with no draws. Make it rain, I'm like fall. Oh, we threw a party, yeah, we threw a party. I'm off the Molly, she on Bacardi. Hands on her back, she twerking that body. Forget your past, move on, quit the starting. Hit it to the left, right, yeah, I'm on the road. You don't wanna take flight, you ain't tryna go. I can hit the brake lights, got you one more. Freaky at the nighttime, things you never show. Pop that when you walk past, that's a full stack. Flip that, make it right. That's a relapse. You ain't mad if I don't call back. No, you missed that. Got a product to ignite that. You don't write back.
Alright, I'll let it play. I'll let it keep going.
You should slide to my side. Know you are a good time. Come on, baby, don't lie. Pull up on the hills one time. You ain't got to stress on time. I could probably hit it in a booth right now. BBS diamonds all in my mouth. Big dog, look at my paws. She walked in with no draws. Make it rain, I'm like fall.
Okay.
Yeah, send that to me. I like that one.
You know, Los hasn't touched that yet, so I'm sure he was listening to it.
That's gonna sound crazy, yeah. I already got some
like,
ideas.
Ooh, yeah. You mix this terribly. I'm gonna have to show you how to really mix this. But yeah.
Nah, you'd be surprised, man. Your mix sounds better than... Thank you, bro.
I know you work with a lot of different artists, so I know this is probably some people that you're like,
sometimes.
Bruh, what you doing over there?
It's rough, man.
What's going on over there?
I used to think everybody should make music, but then I started engineering, and now I don't.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think everybody should. No, actually,
wait, when did you?
I didn't ever. I really never thought that. So that was I ripped that off of Banksy. Banksy said that about what's that fucking guy's name? Now I can't think of it. Have you ever seen Exit Through the Gift Shop?
I did.
Okay. Yeah. So you might remember at the end of that, Banksy was on camera and he said, I used to think everybody should do art.
Wait, Banksy was on camera?
Well, not his face. Oh. Like, you know, they had him like blurred out or it was just his voice or something like that. But he was talking about the dude who Exit Through
and
the Gift Shop.
And if you hear
who did
anybody
that.
That's speaking down there, that is Shan and my little brothers. They're being extra loud and not respecting our podcast, but it's okay.
It's okay.
They can have a little feature.
It happens. So he was talking about fucking, what's the guy's name? I'm trying to find his name real quick.
Is the guy who does music?
Mr. Brainwash.
I never heard of Mr. Brainwash.
He knew a bunch of artists. He used to like have like a vintage clothing store in LA or something like that. And somehow he had all these connections and he was able to like become friends with Banksy.
Yeah.
He never actually had his face on camera, but was able to like do some documentation of like him doing art and that type of shit.
Okay.
And eventually he realized that, you know what, like I could do art. He realized like the way the art world is set up right now with the street art and everything, I could easily get into this and make some cash. So he did. And he basically started employing like graphic designers and all these other kids to like kind of bring his visions to life. And Banksy at one point said, in regards to him, I used to think everybody should do art. And then he started doing it. I'm not sure if that's the exact quote, but he basically said, then he started doing it. Or then I saw his art and I don't think that anymore. So,
yeah. I mean, yeah. You know, it's
that's how I feel about music. Like, it's the same thing. I used to think everybody should do art. And then I got.
I understand the thought process because you want everybody to understand it the way that you understand it. And the only way you got to understand it was by doing it.
Exactly. Like,
so,
you have to, like, I think what he was saying, and, you know, obviously this is just my interpretation, but, like, more so, like, I think everybody should create.
Mm.
Like, everybody should try to be creative and, you know, not just punch a clock, so to speak. And then he's like, but then this asshole came along, and now some of you just don't need to be creative. Some of you need to punch a clock.
Yeah. I remember when you came over one day, and Banksy was doing that. It was
the,
like he was
the
selling.
The shredder?
No, he was selling his art.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the question was, what is art?
Oh, yeah, he made people do, like, a homework assignment to, like, purchase this shit.
Yeah.
Genius. Yeah, fuck
what
you.
Was your answer? What do you
think? I don't know. It's probably something real stupid, like anything you make. Like when, I mean, you know, honestly, fuck you. Like, I got to do a homework assignment.
Yeah,
to
yeah.
Buy
let
you,
me
like,
just buy your
picture.
Shit, bro.
Like, I get, but you know, at the same time, it's your stuff, but that's what you want to do. Cool. I get it. I just, like, I wish I could have read some of the responses because I know there was some real,
real elaborate.
Just like, yeah, it's like, shut the fuck up. Like, you, like, turned in a thesis on art for Banksy because you wanted to buy a spray painted rat.
Yeah.
But hey.
He know. Had some cool stuff that he
no,
was
he
selling.
No, he did. It was some cool stuff.
It was some
shit.
Hard stuff.
Really
I mean,
cool
what does
shit.
He make that's not good, though?
Yeah, the guy's fucking dope.
Yeah, he's
fuck.
Incredible. But my answer yeah. was anything that makes you feel an emotion.
Hmm. Yeah.
You know?
It's a good answer.
Yeah.
I like any, that.
Anything that makes you feel something.
Yeah.
And I didn't win, obviously.
I didn't either. So.
So who knows? Maybe I was wrong.
I wonder how heavily the answers weighed in their decision to
yeah,
allow
you
to purchase.
What do you answer? Like, how did he choose? Because it's whatever, you know, art is personal. So how do you choose?
How many people just use the dictionary definition and just like, that's art?
What is the dictionary definition?
Probably like a painting or something. I don't know. Dictionary sometimes has very disappointing definitions.
Yeah. What is the definition of art?
Let's see. Art definition is the expression or application of human creative skill and imagination, typically in a visual form such as painting or sculpture, producing works to be appreciated primarily for their beauty or emotional power.
Mm.
Okay.
I think you would have won if you put that.
That's a good answer.
It's a freaking good really, answer.
Okay. So yeah. There goes the dictionary yeah. having a great
just shit
description.
On you.
Just shitting,
after you shit it
on
the dictionary.
Yeah.
The whole thing with this podcast is obviously I want our banter, but yeah. The next thing that I want from this podcast is I want to discuss topical subjects here.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, there is a lot going
yeah.
on.
There's a lot
a
of
lot
things.
Of shit going on in the world, especially in the United States. And let's just start with Kanye.
Yeah.
So Kanye has been going on in, well, it started with his rally. Did you watch the rally?
I saw highlights.
You saw highlights? Yes, I'm gonna play highlights. Some highlights from this rally right now.
Okay. Let's see some highlights from Kanye.
My God.
Yeah. The things I saw were.
So we'll digest topic by topic. So we're going to first just do the rally.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm not trying to quiet your voices, actually, so I don't want to say that in an improper way. I just haven't had the time to word it in the most elegant way possible. So that's a Stephen move. When Harriet Tubman,
oh boy, there it comes.
Well, Harriet Tubman never actually freed the slaves.
Oh God.
She just had the slaves go work for all the white people.
Okay, all right. So there's a lot of stuff to unpack here in just this clip alone, and we haven't got to the tweets yet, but we're gonna get to that. So my first instinct when I watched that,
yeah,
my heart broke because I don't know. Have you ever had a mental breakdown before?
No.
Okay, I've had a mental breakdown before.
Okay,
and that feeling. When you cry, like that sound that he was making,
yeah,
I know what he's feeling. Like that shit sucks, and to do it on a major level, to break down in front of this many people, which I think he's used to. I don't think he cares if people like him or not.
No, I think he does care. Actually,
you think he does?
I think he has a huge ego, and I think. He's driven by it to an extent.
I could see that actually.
Yeah, I don't think he cares in the way that normal people care. Mm. Like, how to say it? Like, almost like he's oblivious to criticism within a point, like, or to a point. Like, he's able to really compartmentalize people hating on him, so to speak, and he's able to say, like, my vision is correct. And yeah. So anything that anybody says, like,
yeah,
they're wrong, I feel bad for them, like, it's not their fault. They're idiots. Yeah. That, you know, like,
they just don't understand.
They just exactly they yeah. just don't understand. But I do think he cares what people think about him. As far as like the final products of what he creates, I don't think he's so much concerned about people's opinion of the journey.
Yeah,
as much
yeah,
as he
yeah,
is
yeah.
about the actual product that he's creating.
That he puts out.
But again, like it's only to a certain extent. Like it's kind of like Donald Trump. I think they're kind of the same person, where they're both like. They care what people think about them. Like
yeah.
from like reports, like apparently Trump's like obsessed with like the news cycle's opinion of him and that type
that
of thing.
That makes sense.
Like he always wants to win the day.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
it's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, I think they're kind of both the same person in that regard.
Yeah, you know, I see a lot of people comparing him to Trump.
Yeah.
You know, and was that a presidential rally? Was that was
it
that,
was supposed to be.
It was.
So like he oddly like it's very odd. So obviously like he announced he was running like a week ago. And then he said he wasn't going to run, or his campaign yeah. director said that he wasn't going to run. And then like he jumped. He still had the rally there because he was trying to get people to
I win him over, I guess.
Like, well, I think there was some type of official thing he had to do for South Carolina to be officially registered
on the
but,
ballot.
But like most of the states, I think they said like he was only eligible to run in like 30 something states. So
oh, okay.
like you'd have to sweep every state in order to win. Like he's like it was
yeah.
It was a harebrained idea at best. But yes, that was supposed to be his rally.
It was so supposed to be it was
supposed to be some type of presidential rally for him, yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, you know what's crazy
full,
is you know, when I try to before I cast judgment on what his movement is, I try to think, what is his access? What type of knowledge does he get to?
Right.
What does he have, you know, that other people do not?
Definitely and, has access that we don't.
You know? Yeah. And then on top of that, I think, okay, when he first said that he wanted to do music, everyone was like, do not. Just keep making beats, bro.
Right.
When he first said, I want to do clothing, everyone yeah. was like, bro, stop it, dog. You're not going to do it.
Yeah. And it's kind of the story of his life at this point. I'm sure somebody told him not to make beats, too.
Probably, yeah. Probably.
So he's probably faced an entire life of people telling him don't do something, and then he does it, and he's massively successful at it.
And, you know,
yeah.
So who's to say when he's in his mind frame, if someone says, hey, all right, Kanye, you know
you can't
nothing.
Run for president.
Yeah, you know nothing about
well,
this.
Well, I also didn't know anything about beats.
Yeah.
I also didn't know anything about rapping. I also didn't know anything about clothing. I also didn't know anything about shoes. I also didn't know anything about gospel music, whatever.
Yeah.
Everything he's tried so far
he's been
has
master-
worked for him.
I don't know if this
I mean, not
work.
Everything. Obviously, I'm sure he's had some failures, but
yeah.
like he has a really good, you know, history that he can rely on to say, you know what, you may think that I'm going to fail, but that's what everybody said about everything else I've ever done. So
exactly.
Fuck you, I'm going to do it.
I'm going to do it.
Which and is, that, again, that's why I don't think he cares about your opinion of his journey.
Yeah.
I think he's more concerned, and not even so much that he's not going to try again if you hate it, but he's just yeah. kind of like, do you like it?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, you should like it.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, you're crazy. But
yeah, yeah.
like, you should like it.
Yeah, you
do
should
you like
I'll,
it. Like,
I'll just keep going at it.
Exactly.
So yeah, I had that thought to myself last night. Was like, man, if I'm in the brain of Kanye,
mm-hmm.
if everyone's yelling at me, don't do the presidential thing. You're never going to be able to do that. You're never going to be able to do that. In his mind, he's probably like, I've heard that before.
Can't tell me nothing.
Hey, that's one of his greatest songs
exactly.
too.
Can't tell me nothing. Like
that's one of his hardest like, songs too. I will
wait
say,
till I get my money right.
What
well,
do you think? What do you think
right.
Donda's gonna be like? That's his new album that he's about to drop.
I think so. Interestingly for me, I think I go against what most people do as far as their appreciation of Kanye. I don't really like the early stuff all that much. Like it's cool. I don't dislike it. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's like bad. But like College Dropout and
like
all
dropout.
That other like the early stuff, I'm. Like it's cool, but
whoa.
There's a few songs on each one that I really like. That's you know,
yeah. But you're but not overall.
My favorite Kanye album is Yeezus. That's my absolute favorite.
That's
album.
That's mine too.
And I know most of it, or maybe I don't. Maybe this isn't true, but I feel like a lot of people do not
no,
like
no,
Yeezus.
No, it's critically, it's one of his albums that everyone hates on.
That's the best
it's
album.
One of my favorite ones too.
That's the best album.
That's interesting.
That's the most creative. That's the most like.
Well, you have to frame it. You have to frame it for people because a lot of people don't understand. Like you and I, when we hear music,
yeah.
we hear it. Let me unplug this.
Oh yeah, that's probably.
when we hear music,
yeah,
we hear it from a different perspective. We hear it in its entirety. And that rollout was one of the greatest rollouts. He had his face plastered on a building.
Well, so my bad, not to cut you off, but I didn't pay attention to the rollout. I didn't actually listen to Yeezus until probably a year after it came out.
The rollout, bro.
It was crazy.
Dude, I'm telling you, bro, it was one of the greatest rollouts that I've ever seen.
So I wasn't in music at that time, and I wasn't a Kanye fan. So I was just like, I was oblivious to it. And then like a year or something after that, I listened to it. I think I was driving. Where was I? I was probably driving somewhere in Alabama. I'm not sure where I was, but I was going somewhere, long trip, and I was just like, I'm listening to this. And I was like, man, what the fuck? This is insane. Like, and this is his best work.
It's so good. Yeah. And you know, I think everybody, I'll tell you this, when that first track comes on, it set the tone for me.
Oh, it's insane.
With his face passing on the wall and then hearing that come out of the speakers, I was like, yo.
Yeah.
This is like gonna be the net, and it's so disrespectful to music.
It was just disrespectful, period. Like the lyrics and that was the thing that I really liked about it was like it was very empowered.
Yes.
It was very aggressive, and it almost reminded me of it gave me the same energy that I used to get when I was like 16 years old and I would listen to Rage Against the Machine. And even now, if I listen to Rage Against the Machine,
your heart starts
pumping. I feel like I'm ready to fucking run through a wall.
Black Skinhead is arguably one of his best songs that he ever made.
It's incredible. And like that whole album, I just kept getting that. And like the, was it Blood on the Leaves?
That whole album is phenomenal. And it's crazy because I actually was just having this conversation. They were like, I like College Dropout, which I like too.
It's cool. I mean,
I do like it, you know?
It's cool. But College Dropout, like if, and also,
it's safe.
It's safe, but not only that, but I think Yeezus is a more influential album as far as what it did for music moving forward. Like, I don't listen to College Dropout now, and I mean, I'm sure that there's stylistic influences from it, but I can hear a lot more Yeezus in today's music than I can College Dropout.
Oh, 100%. You know what I mean? Like, well, College Dropout was actually its time. It wasn't ahead of its time.
No, it wasn't. Yeezus was very ahead of its time. And it's aged now. Aged phenomenally, whereas I would argue that his other albums, while they're not aging bad, like at all, they're classic albums, but they don't, you can't put College Dropout on and be like, did it just come out like recently? Mm-hmm. You could put Yeezus on and confuse somebody who had never heard a Kanye album before.
I agree with you on that. Yeah. One thing that I've loved about Kanye is each album that you get, you don't know what you're gonna get.
No,
you have no reference. Like, I feel like there's a lot of artists out there where they announce they're about to drop an album, and you can kind of guess.
You know what the vibes are gonna be.
You know what you're gonna get. Mm-hmm. You know exactly what you're gonna get.
Yeah.
And I think that's cool too. You know, and a lot of people, I think for me,
right.
That's one thing that I've prided myself on.
Yeah.
Each album that you hear from me, I don't want you to be able to play them A, B. I want them to be completely different. I want to give you a new vibe, a new perspective, a new person.
Yeah.
And I've gotten a lot of flack for that.
Well, and from me as well. I've given you flack for that.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, not from like the audience, but from people who are in my circle. They hate that. They think that I'm never going to develop an audience that way.
Well, I did think that for a while. What I've come to realize with your audience is they like the different stuff just in a way. I think actually, so to be fair, like when I met you, you were rapping.
Yeah. Like, no, a lot of people don't even know that.
Like, it was like bars and shit. Like as Afion, so like, when are the bars, man?
Yeah.
It was all bars. Like you were like, you were more akin to Kendrick than anything else. So with the transition that you've had, you know, musically and in your life, I think your life transitions have changed and influences have more of an influence on your music.
Yeah.
And because of that, like, obviously your styles have changed. Yeah. So that said, when you started doing different, you know, genres, basically, or not even so much different genres, but when you start, incorporating different ideas sonically into your style, it did initially throw me, and I'm sure other people who worked with you for a loop. But what we had, what for me, what it was, you know, the proof was in the pudding, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Like, we've gotten more listens to the new stuff than we had the old stuff. And the new stuff has been more engaging. And what I've realized is that with your music, as long as we have, it's kind of like, what's the way to put it? Exactly. Like, it's almost like a style of food. Like, you know, like we may be serving up Italian, you know, so it's like, as long, like, let's say it's, we're serving Italian food, right? Like, as long as we have something that's similar to pizza somewhere in the mix, you know what I mean? As long as the tomato sauce and the pasta is being used, they don't really care what else is thrown in there.
No.
As long as there's something that they can attach to that they are familiar with. They are very willing to let you explore, and it's cool because it,
I love that,
produces some really cool shit.
No, I love that because for me, I get bored, you know? And I have to explore. I have to try different things. I have to continue. Like, for me, you know, going back to enjoying the journey, I have to chase something. I have to be in some new territory every time that I start working on a body of music. And so I'm grateful for that. But, yeah, I don't want to get too sidetracked. Let's read some of these tweets. You know, from Kanye's first rant, he gained in literally a matter of, like, hours.
Let me guess. Hold on.
90,000.
Hold on. 90,000 followers?
90,000.
I was going to say, like, a million, but obviously
I'm sure. I'm sure it's heading that way. Because this was insane. The first couple hours of his first rant. He had two rants.
He almost got me to get Twitter back on my phone.
Oh, you don't have Twitter?
I have nothing. I no Instagram, no Twitter, no Snapchat, nothing at all.
Why?
Just because. It's an interesting way to exist.
Yeah, you're just done with it, huh?
No, I'm not necessarily done. I'm gonna have to get back on Instagram at some point, just because of
your job and everything.
Well, engineering, the weed, this, like. Mm. It's like I'm kind of leaving a vacuum where I should not leave a vacuum.
Yeah, because with social media, you're connected to a lot of people you not normally wouldn't be.
Yeah, so I have to kind of use that.
Yeah.
I've just been taking a break from that. As far as, like, Twitter and Snapchat, once I got rid of my Instagram or deactivated it and deleted it off my phone, I found myself replacing Instagram with Twitter.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? Let's just get rid of all the social media and just, like, we'll leave it all off until I put Instagram back on, and then we'll bring it back up. But it's been interesting.
Now, what I will say, he's deleted a lot of these.
And I do go on when
he's doing it.
I have a friend that's like, yo, just check out Twitter real quick. Kanye's going crazy again. Yeah. So I'll go on Safari and go on his page.
Excuse me. He says, everybody knows the movie Get Out is about me.
That one was the one that I was like, oh, shit, it's about... I thought it was about to get crazy. I mean, it got crazy, but I thought it was going to get, like...
Maybe it was.
Yeah.
And somebody like said, in his camp was like, yo, keep it low.
Yeah, I thought he was about to start really... But I think everybody knows at this point that anybody that's dating or married to a Kardashian, the movie Get Out is now about them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Protect Travis.
I will
Scott.
Say every person that has been with them, and I'm almost scared to say anything bad about the Kardashians.
I just want Chris to manage us.
Yeah, that would be nice.
She can manage us.
I'd be down. You wouldn't?
Of course. Are you kidding me?
Oh, I'm about to say so what? Where do I get my soul?
Kardashian.
I'm ready to
life.
Take it off.
No, just gotta be like Travis Scott, man.
Yeah, just
dabble.
Keep it
just dabble. Yeah, but don't stay.
Keep it ducked.
Protect Travis Scott, man.
Yeah. You know, they're not together anymore, are they?
As long as he's still alive, no.
Wait, what?
He's going to be their sacrifice. He's going to be their next Illuminati sacrifice. It'll be Travis. I'm making that up. I don't believe that.
Yo, Travis, please be safe. No. Be safe. No, be safe out there.
No, that's mean. I shouldn't say these things.
That's not mean.
It's mean to say those things.
I don't think it's mean.
You're right. It's not really mean.
I don't think it's mean. Listen. He's he has a lot of people who have access to tweeting things at him. I'm sure the worst thing he's ever heard
is
not that.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
So... I'm sure he's fine with
that. No, I'm sure he's not going to be their sacrifice. But also, I'm sure he's not upset by me saying that.
Yeah,
I'm more concerned about me ending up the sacrifice.
Yeah,
that's why I say that. Yeah, I'm not really concerned about Travis Scott being offended.
Lowe said something about Illuminati.
That's right. He said something about the Kardashians.
I mean, if your Illuminati references make this podcast blow up, I'm cool with that, too.
Let's do it.
Yeah, hey, Illuminati, if you guys are watching this, come holler at your boy.
Oh, wow.
So the next tweet, he says, I put my life on the line for my children. Mm-hmm. That Norse mother would never sell her sex tape. Oh, wait. Actually, let me edit that. Sex rape. So the thing what's weird is that here.
But either, she already did.
That's what I'm about to say.
Like, so is there a new one? Years before you met her.
Is there a new one?
I don't know, man. Like,
because it already happened.
It sounds like there's something out there.
Either there's a new
that
one.
That or he's just like really fixated on that.
Or he's.
And he's like, I hope you don't sell it again or something. I don't really.
Or
yeah.
he's
I mean,
that lost in translation.
It could be that too.
I think there might be a new one. Would you watch it?
100%.
I would watch it. 100%. I'd watch it twice.
I'd watch it.
You know?
Absolutely.
So, is that bad for us to say?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. If you put it out there, it's for
if it's on the internet. If she sold it, if she sold it, like
it's to be watched.
She won't.
I'll give you money.
Like she's making
it's a
money
trade.
Off of it. So yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't feel bad anymore.
I mean, it's the OnlyFans. Why wouldn't you?
No, she's way above OnlyFans. She'll probably put it out as a movie.
Oh, I'm sure. Just put it on her website. Direct
yeah.
Download.
You
That'd
would
be
have
the
to,
smart way to do it.
She would. She's above OnlyFans. Yeah. She's not breaking bread off of with OnlyFans.
No,
fuck
no,
that.
Absolutely not.
Okay. By the way, how do you feel about OnlyFans?
Oh man.
Do you think it's a good thing or do you think like
I hate it in a way, but I don't hate it for the women or for the people who are using it to
yeah.
make money. I think it's a very sad commentary on where we're at these days.
Yeah.
So many people will pay for nudes like that, and that's just
I mean,
I'm a little bit old school in that.
They deserve to get paid for.
I'm not mad at them making money off it.
Yeah.
Look, if some asshole wants to pay you for like feet pictures or nudes or whatever it is you're selling, if you're able to make money off of just being naked,
yeah,
hey, go for it. God bless you. Make your money.
Yeah.
My distaste is reserved for the people who are purchasing said photos because I just think it's pathetic.
Yeah, but. I guess, okay, there's two layers to this because
okay.
The way I feel about it is like, one, it sucks that porn is free. It does.
I guess. I
because
mean,
are the performers getting paid for that or is the website getting paid for that?
Well, the website is.
I believe that porn should be paid for.
Right. People should get paid for their work.
They should get paid for their work.
Right.
And
that's fair.
They should be able to monetize it like it was YouTube. And
right.
That's how I feel about it.
Okay.
And I think that OnlyFans was the way to compete against that. Because
okay.
There was no other way to compete against it.
Right.
And if we normalize paying for your porn,
mm-hmm.
I think we would get better porn.
I don't necessarily think the porn would get better.
Why not?
Because, like, how can you really make porn better? What would you do to improve porn?
I don't know. I think I can make some good pornos.
But what would you do? Like, what is porn lacking right now that in your mind that you would have to improve
upon?
Well,
the thing is, I don't think there's anything lacking of it,
mm-hmm.
but, like, okay. There's this girl. She's a porn director.
Right.
Her name's Erica Lust.
Okay.
And her videos are pretty dope.
All right. What's dope about them?
The way they're shot,
uh-huh.
and then on top of it, the storylines, the way that she can accent sensuality,
mm-hmm.
in the way that, like, I don't know how to explain it. You have to just experience one.
It's more of an artistic.
It's an artistic
it's
one,
an
but
experience.
You're still going to be able to get off.
Right.
It's not going to be like, okay, what the hell's going on here? It's still like, it's still good.
Yeah, see, I guess it depends on how you consume.
Have you ever seen? You've never seen any of her videos, right?
No.
You got to check one out.
Sure, I haven't.
They're not on like Pornhub or anything.
Yeah, see, I'm. Yeah. For me, porn is a very like. It's something that I use for a purpose, and that's
yes. No, of course, yes.
Like, and that's
you
it.
You got to get to the point.
Get in, get out.
Yeah, you got to get
I'm
to the point.
I'm not spending 30 minutes watching fucking pornos. And I like the most deranged, like, I don't
yeah.
like normal, like...
What's your category?
Well, I like amateur stuff. Amateur stuff
amateur's
is cool.
The best one.
Yeah, I like amateur stuff, but, like, if I'm watching... if I'm watching the non-amateur shit, it's like, I watch the dorkiest, like, fucking just most absurd setups. Like,
yeah.
I like the fake taxi one.
That's a good one.
Fake taxi's fun. I like that one. Yeah, but it's just so ridiculous. Like, you know, you get in it, like, for people who don't know Fake Taxi.
Everyone knows.
If you don't watch porn.
No, everyone knows. They just want to pretend like they don't know.
We're going to pretend like you don't know. I'm going to act like you all live under a rock and nobody's ever logged on Pornhub. So Fake Taxi is like this set in Britain. Set in the United Kingdom.
Set in Britain sounds.
It feels weird saying that. I feel like that's not
set
right.
Set in Britain.
So it's set in the United Kingdom.
Okay.
London, to be specific.
Yeah.
And the premise is that this guy, or sometimes it's a girl driving. I like the girl driving. Yeah. The girl driving is cool. The girl driving is cool because then you get to put yourself in the backseat.
Yeah, like,
so the taxi driver picks up the passenger, which if it's a woman driving, it's usually a guy that she's picking up.
Yeah.
And if it's a guy driving, it's always a woman.
She picks up girls though sometimes.
She does pick up girls sometimes, but the guy doesn't pick up guys. He only picks up women.
Yeah.
Or sometimes multiple women.
Yeah.
That's nice also. And then inevitably, they're never able to pay their fare. Or they're just like, either the driver's super horny and comes on to the male passenger. That's usually what happens with the female-male thing. Usually the female driver's like, oh, you're so hot. I want to hop back there and suck your cock. And then, so then like they'll pull over somewhere. Usually with the guy driving, though, it's a little bit more misogynistic because it'll be like the woman's like,
I can't pay my fare.
Should I suck your dick? So I like the woman driving because it's a little bit more empowering for women.
The driver
makes up her mind that, hey, I think I want to fuck you.
And then the guy's like,
what? You want to fuck me? All right, then, love, let's have a little shag. And they pull over and they go, you know, fuck in the bushes somewhere. So that one's interesting. But there's some wild shit out there.
There definitely is some interesting things.
But that's my thing also is like, and you're right.
How do we get here from
Ryan? I don't know. But you're right about that. They should be paid for their thing, their performances. Yeah. But I think that goes back to our willingness to do things for pennies.
Mm.
And I know it's hard because when you're in shitty opportunity or shitty situations and opportunities present themselves for you to make a couple bucks, you take it. Right.
Okay, so we've been chatting, so we're going to have to wrap it up.
Wrap it up.
But I think I went on my Instagram and I asked for some people to ask me some questions,
mm-hmm.
Or ask us some questions.
Right.
And I got two.
All right, you got a couple.
I may have more now, but...
I'll start somewhere.
I'll start, you know. So... this one's going to be interesting because I don't really know the answer to this.
Okay.
And I'm curious to see what you're going to say.
Uh-oh.
As someone who is struggling with wanting an open relationship, but currently dating someone monogamous, what compromises can we both come to without fully changing who we are and who we want to be?
Break up.
That's your advice?
I mean, look, if somebody's monogamous and you want to be in an open relationship, what's the compromise here? Either they're like, somebody's going to have to do something they don't want to do.
Yeah. Well, I think they want to come to like a middle ground.
But there's no middle ground for monogamy.
Maybe they're allowed to go on dates. Maybe they're allowed to go to the movies with certain people.
But is it?
I guess you have to draw the line at sex. Yeah, maybe you have to figure out where they draw the line.
I guess that would be the middle ground, but
yeah,
I mean,
I think after a while though, that person
gonna
wants a relationship. Yeah, they're gonna want to move it forward.
Eventually, you're gonna have to shit or get off the pot.
Yeah. Okay. what's been the hardest obstacle for you when it comes to pursuing your music career? The hardest obstacle that I had to let go was me judging my music. As hard as I judge it.
Right.
I used to not put out music because I didn't feel like it was good enough.
You're not the only one.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who do
that. A lot of people do this.
And I had to come to the place of understanding that it doesn't really matter what I think.
Yeah.
It matters what the audience thinks.
Yeah.
And if you build your audience big enough, there will be people who like it.
And people who hate it.
And
it goes hand in hand.
I always believe in stoicness.
I try to actually live my life in a stoic manner.
Yeah, you don't ride your highs too high. You don't ride your lows too lows. So if you stay in that middle, you won't judge your music too hard.
Yeah.
And you won't actually, that doesn't mean put out bullshit.
Right.
It still means you need to have people around you who are going to say, hey, you know, this is not the one. But for you, I think you have to let go of that, because it actually, for me, it kills my creativity. It makes it to the point where I'm not going to be able to create the way Absolutely. I should.
I think what people have to latch onto more than the insecurity is, it actually goes back to what you said as far as your answer to Banksy. What is art? So your answer was anything that makes you feel, right?
Yeah.
And music is obviously art. Excuse me. How's it? Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
So you create art to make people feel, yourself and the people who consume it. So with that in mind, you can't hold on to shit, because good or bad in your opinion.
Yeah.
The function of that song is to make people feel.
Yeah.
So whether you make them love it or hate it, it's doing its job. It's doing what it was created to do. So with that in mind, I don't think, people should necessarily hold on to records because they're not sure if it's good enough. It's one thing if, it's just not good. There's a difference. You know when something's just not good. As, people, as artists and creators, you kind of know.
You kind of can tell.
You kind of know when something isn't,
Well, you need 5 people that can listen to it or look at it and give you their opinion before you give it to the world.
Well,
before
you also even give your opinion. Yeah, and that too. I was going to say, you also need to be steadfast in your own opinion and your own belief that even if those 5 people say something's terrible, if you believe it's great, put that shit out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When I say I literally mean you know. We all know when something just in our soul, when it's not, that's not it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then sometimes you'll ask people, what do you think about this? Because you're hoping they'll change your mind or something.
Yeah.
But all that said, the insecurity about putting music out and all that is definitely a real thing. A lot of artists deal with that. A lot of them are like, man, I like this song, but I don't know how people are going to take it.
And respond then it's just like, to
man,
it.
Fuck that shit, man. Yeah. Sometimes you just got to throw mud against the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah, that's the truth. That's the truth. And especially in a world where you're always, especially because I used to think I don't want people to judge me off of that one song.
Yeah.
But then you're going to continue to put out music.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, the people who are going to judge you off that one song, that's what they're going to do no matter what.
Yeah.
They're going to, those types of
judge
people.
Judge you off of something.
Who are, So whether it's that song or the next one, if it's people who make, a knee-jerk reaction and that's it, that's what you are to them for the rest of their lives, there's nothing you're going to be able to do about that. So just put it out. Let them deal with it. Let it fall where it is.
And let the chips fall where they may.
Exactly.
All right. So this next question is the last one we have.
Yeah.
What traits from your family do you want to and not want to continue when you become a parent? So I'm going to get probably a lot of flack for this.
Let's go.
But one thing that I want to get rid of is I don't want. Let me figure out how I can word this without pissing people off.
Piss everybody off.
I don't want to raise my kid, with the belief of the Bible.
I want
them to look at the Bible as a guidestone. Which I don't mean that in an Illuminati way, because I know the Georgia guides don't.
Right, yeah, yeah. No.
Let me just clarify that. But I don't want them to look at it, because I was taught to the Bible was taught to me, it was literal.
Digest it and live that shit.
This is literal.
As was I.
Yeah. This is going, you're going to.
Yeah. I was raised Christian. You're going to church every Sunday. This is the right way. Anything outside of this is
wrong.
Is wrong.
It's actually Satan. It's not.
Basically, yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
and so for me, I want to raise my kid with many perspectives.
Right.
So that they can deduct what they feel about the world, rather than me shoving Christianity down their throat. So that's something that I want to get rid of. One thing that I do want to continue is the self-discipline that my dad put on me.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very heavily chore household. Yeah. It really, for me, it provided a lot of character growth for me. I didn't like it as a kid, but as I got older, I started to realize how grateful I am for that kind of structure in the house.
Right. That's a tough question. I actually, because I mean, I'm, yeah, you're asking, you're being forced to critique your parents.
And yeah, it's a weird thing.
I can't really say that. I don't. Man, I'm trying to think. Like, if there's one thing that like I feel like my mother, or my father, like fucked up on. But well, so my birth father didn't raise me. So I guess we could say the abandonment, like actually be there for your kids. So
yeah,
we'll cut that out. We'll cut the like not being around. But that like so, like I say that, but also I should add that now my father and I have a great relationship,
okay.
And we've moved on past a lot of those issues. But yeah, like so we'll cut that out.
Yeah, be there.
Jesus, that's fuck getting heavy. But yeah, no, like my mother did a good job, I think, raising me, giving me room to grow, room to fuck up.
Yeah,
I fucked up a lot, so they definitely gave me room to fuck up.
Yeah,
I think that's a good thing. So maybe I'd keep that, like, give your children room to make mistakes, let them figure things out, let them making mistakes is so important, man. Like you have to make mistakes to learn. That's not something I'd really thought about as far as whether I'd raise my children up under any type of religion, which I'm not. I don't practice any set religion. I grew up raised Christian, like we said. But I don't know. I feel like in a weird way, and if this is probably gonna make people upset as well, but I kind of, the older I've gotten, the more I feel like religion is used as a crutch by a lot of people that just don't necessarily have the fortitude to take control and take accountability for their own actions. And I think sometimes people,
so does astrology. Boom. I'm getting shot
and I don't say it to just condemn all religion, because I do think that people need guidance and they need something that they can use to, you know.
Yep. And same, astrology can be helpful in some
exactly
ways,
but I also believe, for me at least, and this is what works for my life, is I feel like that guidance and that accountability should come from within.
Yeah,
I think you should be, you know, you're in control. You're in charge. Yeah. It's on you. But religion is a useful tool.
I
don't know. It's an interesting question. I think I would like to educate my child as to the religions of the world and be like, you know,
it's here. Yeah.
But because I'm not religious, I couldn't raise my kid, you know, religious.
Yeah.
But that's an interesting thought. Like, I've never really thought about that much. So
yeah,
I don't know. I guess I'll cross that bridge when I get to it. If I have a kid with a religious woman, I probably won't have much of a choice. So
yeah.
Well, in that case, I don't know that I would fight her, to be honest.
Yeah, I think religion, I mean, obviously religion is great and it helps a lot of people and it does really great things for the world and it keeps a order in there. And I never would say religion,
but it also does some tragic things to the world.
Yeah, I mean, it's used in war, it's used in slave people, it's a lot of things that it does.
Yeah, it's a lot of...
But at the same time, like, I can never knock somebody who... I've known people who were shitty people.
Yeah.
And they became religious and they're actually okay.
And they got it together.
And they pulled it together.
And that's fantastic. So, you know, that's why I say sometimes people just need a code or they need some type of, you know, set of rules. People like rules as much as, you know, they may seem like they don't and they don't want to wear a mask or whatever.
They need something to believe
people
in.
People crave authority. They crave, because it's structure, it's reliability. It makes them feel good. It makes them sleep well at night knowing that there's rules and structure and
I
all that shit.
I have some type of protection in this,
exactly.
in this life. And so, I get it. And I never would say that religion is bad. I know I've had a bad relationship with it.
There you go.
So yeah, that was just you know, my thing. But
that's interesting though.
And so if my daughter came to me and was like, I want to be a Christian, I don't think that I actually would support it. I would love it.
Yeah.
You know, I but I also would give them the information of everything that I know about religion.
Right.
I support it. You know, if you are a Christian, one of my best friends from back in the day, he's a pastor right now.
That's right.
And he's one of my favorite people in the world.
Cool. Yeah.
So, you know, I don't think religion is bad. I think that I had a bad experience.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a good way to look at it.
Yeah. And so, yeah. And I mean, shoot, we rambled on about countless things. I don't even remember. I'm be interested to listen back to this and see if we said anything that's going to get us canceled on our first episode.
I think we did all right.
But yeah, dude.
We're not that problematic.
Hopefully, I mean, I think we could do this like once a week.
Yeah, I don't see why not.
And see if we can build a little audience here. Thank you for showing up to our first podcast.
Hope you enjoyed the podcast.
Enjoy
the podcast.
The podcast. Right. But yeah, we'll see you next time. This is episode 1. I'll see you episode 2.
Boom. Bye.